So is it stuff in Orlando, or would you be packing up and moving?
No, I'd be willing to move.
Okay.
Just within reason.
What's within reason?
You know, well, I don't know. I don't want to go to Michigan or somewhere shitty like that. Indiana. Who the fuck moves to Indiana?
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, Chris, I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Okay.
I guess you did not give in to the mania this weekend on Disney Plus?
Oh, no. I guess you did, huh?
I did. Okay. And it's really good.
That's what I hear. I hear that Hamilton is quite well done. I hear that the actual execution of shooting it for Disney Plus was well done.
Well, it wasn't shot for Disney Plus.
Or well, shot.
It was shot for the potential of airing it somewhere.
Right. But like they didn't skimp on it.
No, they didn't. And it wasn't a lot of crazy camera work, which is nice. Because a lot of times they'll like do a lot of close-ups, and this was good. They let the show be the show. And it was also good that Disney, for the most part, allowed it to be unaltered.
Okay.
As Lin-Manuel Miranda said, he gave two fucks so that the kids could see it. There's actually three F-bombs in the show, and he cut two of them out so it could still be PG-13.
Okay.
And don't even miss them. There's still lots of shit and damn and references to whores.
Well, that's good.
But it is well worth checking out. It's a musical about a guy who was just a fucking asshole.
And do they play it that way? Do they feel like make him the hero of the story?
Well, it's one of those things where, like, the entire show, people don't get along with him.
Okay.
And he cheats on his wife, and then when he gets blackmailed for it, then Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr find out, and they're going to make it public. So what does he do? He publishes a paper on his affair.
Oh, okay.
Before he tells his family.
Okay.
Because, you know, his career was important. And that was pretty much his entire focus, his entire life. He cheats on his wife. His son gets killed in a duel. Kind of ironic. But then at the end, they're, you know, saying things like the financial institution he set up for the United States just couldn't be stopped. It was, you know, the right thing to do, even though everybody was against it. And really well done.
Okay.
Really well done. I would recommend watching it with subtitles, though.
Why?
Because some of the rapping is very fast.
Oh, okay.
And it's not all rap.
No, but I did hear that is worked into. That was one of the things when Hamilton first came out that everybody was gushing about, is that they were able to incorporate like rapping into this historical whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that you have to take it as what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a musical dramatization of somebody's life story, which means some things are left out, some things are cleaned up. Would not use basing a term paper on watching the show. but yeah, but no, I definitely think you should check it out.
Okay.
Definitely check it away. Do not throw away your shot.
Okay.
There you go.
I did on your recommendation, I did watch the movie that you talked about last week.
Vast of Night?
The Vast of Night, yeah.
What did you think?
So, did I understand this correctly, that this is the first of a series of like Twilight Zone-ish feature-length movies that Amazon is doing? Is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because it starts out very Twilight Zone, and they push into a TV, an old TV.
Right, right.
And
I don't know if that's just the framing structure they chose for this story, well, or if it's
because they
the
go,
plan to go further.
They go in and out of it a bunch too.
Right.
There's a couple of like scene changes, for lack of a better word, where they pull out from the television set and show you that you're still watching this TV program, I guess, and then go back in. But
right.
I thought that was kind of weird. There's a couple of really good tracking shots in it,
mm-hmm.
that I was kind of impressed with. There's one that kind of goes through the town.
Yes.
And goes through a basketball game and out the other side and down to this radio station. And it was like, mm-hmm. wow, okay. There's these long tracking shots in the beginning with where they're following the two main characters from a basketball game.
Right.
The story itself, I thought was weird. Like, there's not a payoff to the film.
That's kind of how it felt. Yeah.
It just kind of ends. And I was waiting for more, because they literally, to set up the film, you're introduced to the two main characters in a walk and talk where they discuss everything but the idea of like aliens.
Right.
And all of a sudden there's this phone call and there's something up over a house, and then they want to know about this weird noise that they're hearing in the phone line, and you're like, okay. And it turns out that the aliens have been to this town before and they've kidnapped people.
Right.
And the woman is, they go to talk to this woman, and she's reciting these weird words that they tape record. Mm-hmm. And then they get picked up by these people and they play it back, and the adults get like brainwashed by it, I guess. Like, it's a very weird set of circumstances.
Yes. Yes.
And then they wind up in a field where you get this amazing shot of like a Close Encounters type mothership, mm-hmm. showing up, and then the movie just ends.
Yeah.
And the last thing you see is the tape recorder kind of half buried in the sand. So
I guess you're supposed to infer that they got picked up by the aliens.
Yeah. The two main characters, and I guess the little kid that they,
right.
they pick up at some point.
The sister.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it, I liked it, but it felt more like a student film than like a episode of a TV show or a movie.
Yeah. Well, it is a movie. It wasn't supposed to be anything more than that.
Okay.
I guess it premiered at something called the Slam Dance Film Festival.
Okay.
Which is a film festival for emerging artists and low-budget films.
Okay. And there's nobody famous in the film.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. But I don't know. I wanted more. Even if it was one more scene where the two kids reappear again, but they're not quite themselves.
Right.
And it's like, oh, so the aliens got them. Or I don't know, something. Something. It felt that it wanted to be a Blair Witch meets Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Right.
but then it never quite paid off. I don't know. I wanted a better ending.
I mean, it's the only credit of this director, and he wrote it, directed, edited, and produced the film under different
Right.
names, which I think is weird.
Which is odd, yeah.
But he's a weird looking guy anyway. I mean, he's like,
He was rejected by 18 film festivals.
oh wow. I mean, good for him that like he found an outlet on Amazon for it. Well, I guess the girl that was in it has been in Curb Your Enthusiasm and a couple other things.
Oh.
So she's an actual working actress.
Okay. Well, I guess they all are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the acting was okay. I thought, and I'll give it to this dude, like it's ballsy when they go to the old woman's house and
Yep.
she's having the like she's telling the story of her baby. The camera never cuts off of her.
Right.
And there's only a couple of times in that scene where they cut over to the kids that are recording it. And that's a ballsy move because you're talking about the strength of the monologue keeping your attention, and it does. So I felt like he did a couple of gutsy things, the tracking shots. I didn't feel like they were doing anything for the sake of doing it.
Right.
Like a lot of filmmakers do. Oh, we've got all this stuff, so like the shots of the UFO at the end when you see it kind of hovering in the distance, you know, a lot of filmmakers would have wanted to do like these close-up panning shots of like, look at the digital work we've done.
Sure.
And it's all kind of from the perspective of far away. And so I felt like he used it sparingly enough to be effective. But
Right.
had he just did a shot of them laying on tables, on metal tables or something at the end, to show like them waking up and maybe the kid who was taken from the old woman is there
Was sitting there with them.
and he's still the same age, like
Sure.
some kind of conclusion to that, because it's very open-ended of like what happened to these people. And I don't know, it's interesting. You know, I don't know whether or not he'll do any more. It doesn't really seem like he's doing any more.
Apparently he's got a revenge movie in the works
Okay.
that takes place in the it is he has since made an as yet untitled film, a revenge thriller set in the honeybee industry.
Oh, okay.
So that could be interesting.
Okay. I mean, good
Yeah,
on
I
him.
sure.
I mean, it's always good to see unknown filmmakers getting their chance to do things.
Right.
You know, I felt like for it being, now that I'm reading this and seeing like this one guy did most of this production on his own, I felt like a lot of times you can be pulled out of a period piece because this happens in the 50s,
Right.
but it felt like the 1950s. There was nothing there that made me feel like it was like a low budget film.
Right.
I think stylistically and set wise, he did a really good job at conveying the period. So, I mean, yeah, good on him. Does it say production? So this dude financed the film himself with earnings from his work producing commercials and shorts for the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was filmed in 3 to 4 weeks at a cost of $700,000. It was shot mostly in Whitney, Texas during the fall of 2016. The town was selected after looking through many towns to find one with the right gymnasium, and in order to get the period details correct, the production team removed the three-point line on the basketball court and the gym at a cost of $20,000, and they found functional switchboards which were used at that time. So, I mean, get like $700,000 for that. I'm sure that he got.
And where do you get that $700,000? Is there a place you go?
Well, I mean, it says
that GoFundMe.
He financed it after producing commercials and shorts for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So, okay.
I mean, you can make some decent money as a video producer, especially for like major sports leagues. So he might have had some investors in there or something, but I'm sure that he sold it to Amazon for a profit.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I just want the initial 700,000.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I mean, that's good for him.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Have you watched anything else lately?
No.
No?
No.
AMC is having a Batman marathon right now.
Oh yeah.
Right now they're on Batman Returns.
Oh. Speaking of Batman, we've lost a couple of people that we need to say goodbye to.
Okay.
The first one is the director of Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Which is two of the most maligned Batman movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Schumacher passed away at the end of June. So,
yes.
I don't know. I don't. It might have been before the last show, and we just didn't mention it. But
I don't think we got to it last time.
No. So yeah, he started out as like a window
decorator
in like New York.
Yeah.
Before getting into the movies. And if you're not a Batman fan, maybe you've seen St. Elmo's Fire or The Lost Boys,
mm-hmm.
or Flatliners.
Yep.
Falling Down, which is kind of a really different Joel Schumacher kind of film. A Time to Kill. Phone Booth with
Whoopi Goldberg?
No.
And Rip Torn?
No.
No?
No.
That's not it?
No. Phone Booth was with Colin Farrell. And it takes place all in Phone Booth. And speaking of musicals, he also did the much bashed Phantom of the Opera movie.
Yes.
In 2004, which had the weird casting of Gerard Butler as the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't really sing. I mean,
that's what autotune is for.
Yeah, but I mean, look. People are used to Michael Crawford as the voice of the Phantom.
Sure.
From Broadway.
Michael Crawford is not a movie actor.
No. No, but Gerard Butler with his Scottish accent is not a singer either. So it might have been easier to train Michael Crawford to be in front of a camera than Gerard Butler to sing.
Well, and Michael Crawford has been in front of the camera. He just doesn't have any box office clout.
Well, yeah, but this was 2004. I mean, mm-hmm. Gerard Butler and Patrick Wilson weren't exactly household names at that point. Neither was
Emmy
Rossum.
No, they were on the way up, and she's still not.
Well.
I mean, really. I mean, she's done some cable stuff.
Right.
What else has she done?
Well, let me look. She did The Day After Tomorrow, which was the world freezes movie. She was in Mystic River. She was on Shameless on either Showtime or HBO, one of those.
Yeah, Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
She's in a Jay-Z short.
I mean, yeah. She has a bunch of video shorts that are entitled with her name, so I wonder what those are. Emmy Rossum.
I think she's
I'll Be With You in Apple Blossom Time.
Yes. I think that they are probably videos to support an album.
Oh,
because there seems
too?
To be quite a few of them. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I think they're all music videos.
Yeah, her first credit is on Law and Order in 1997.
Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense as, like, she was a singer. So, you do a musical version of something, you hire some singers. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Patrick Wilson and Gerard Butler were really odd casting for that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Joel Schumacher saw Gerard Butler in... Well, let's see. I mean, he did a bunch of stuff before that. He was in Reign of Fire and Dracula 2000.
Both classics.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He was in a bunch of shit before. Tomorrow Never Dies. So he was in a James Bond film. Before Phantom of the Opera. So Phantom of the Opera is really... No, he was in Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. I mean, that did pretty well. But, I mean, it would be three more years before his real breakout in 300.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I like Gerard Butler. I really feel like he's an underutilized actor in Hollywood. I think the things that he's done have been fairly entertaining, even though, like, they keep pulling him back for that Something Has Fallen franchise. So Olympus in London and now Angel has fallen. But I mean, him and Sam Worthington were two guys that were supposed to be huge. They were going to be the next big action stars, and their careers just never went that way.
Right.
Did you see, speaking of Gerard Butler, did you see the trailer for his new movie coming out called Greenland?
No.
So it's a story of a comet that enters the Earth's atmosphere and sends like little chunks down, and it basically turns them into like nuclear bombs hitting the planet. And the very first place that it hits is Central Florida.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, you wouldn't survive, but.
I may not survive.
Well, just stay inside. You'll be okay. Yeah, it really is like he's one of those guys that should have been much bigger than he's turned into. But yeah, so going back to Joel Schumacher, his career has been very hit and miss, I guess. He took a bunch of shit for the nipples on the Batman suit.
Yep.
Saying that, you know, stylistically bats have nipples, I guess. And Bruce Wayne would want that to be on his outfit. I don't know. It was a really odd choice, but
yes.
So he passed away at the ripe old age of 80, and I guess he had cancer for a while. But if you listen to interviews with him, apparently he was in the 70s and shit. He was like deep into drugs and like the New York, what was the big club in New York that everybody went to?
Studio 54?
Studio 54. He was a big Studio 54 guy. So,
okay.
So yeah, at the age of 80. So, and he worked right up until, well, I guess he hasn't done anything since 2013 as a director. What do you do as a writer? No, I guess he kind of stopped at 2013 when he did two episodes of House of Cards. Well, that's a weird way to go out, huh? poor guy. And then the bigger one, the one that probably hurt the most, was Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Carl Reiner, who acted pretty much right up until last year.
Yep.
Died this, was it this past week? When was this? When did he die? He died June 29th at the nice age of 99.
Yes.
98. Close to being 99. I'm very worried about Mel Brooks at this point.
Yes.
Him and Mel Brooks were tight to the point where they would go over each other's houses at night to eat food and watch TV. And I feel like now Mel Brooks is probably on the short end of, you know.
Yeah.
But Carl Reiner, who is also the father of Rob Reiner from
Meathead,
from Archie Bunker, and he would later go on to be a director of Misery and A Few Good Men and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Carl Reiner's been in entertainment since like the 1950s.
That's right.
And
up to last year, he was still acting. He was in Toy Story 4 as the voice of Carl Reiner-Osiris.
Yes. But I wonder if...
one where Mel Brooks is a toilet?
I think so. I think they're both in that.
Yeah, I think that's the scene, because they're like the forgotten toys.
Yeah, in the closet.
Yeah.
So this says the Internet Movie Database has his first TV appearance in 1948.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yep.
I don't know what would have been my first exposure to him.
Mine would have been 1963. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Okay.
Loved that movie.
That might have been the first time, but not like that's one of those things that I watched as a kid, but didn't really pay attention to the actors.
Uh huh.
It might have been The Jerk, maybe.
Okay.
But like he is in Ocean's 11, which is one of those films that if it's on TV, I'll watch. Like okay. I've seen it dozens of times because I like the twist in it and the action sequences and shit like that. And he plays like the older con artist guy that they use. And he was also in the Ocean's 12 and Ocean's 13.
Right.
And that might be, even though that's 2001, that might be the first time that I like looked him up and went, oh, okay, that's who that is. But yeah, he was in House and The Cleveland Show and Two and a Half Men.
Yep.
All kinds of shit. Jake and the Neverland Pirates. Like this dude had like a second life at the end of his life as an actor. Oh, and I guess he's in a couple of those Forky Asks a Question shorts on Disney Plus, too. Well, that's good.
He's left quite the legacy.
Yeah. Yep. 98's a good run, though. And especially to be as active as he was.
Right.
And apparently he died of natural causes in 92. So, yeah, that's a hard one. He's brought joy to a lot of people, whether you knew it or not.
Oh, Mel Brooks played Meliphant Brooks. Carol Burnett plays the chair.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think at that point, Pixar just wanted to get as many people in it as they could.
I think they did. Betty White plays a teething toy called Bitey White.
Oh, that was Betty White?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Who knew? Now you're going to have to go back and rewatch it.
I know, and it wasn't a very good movie. God damn it. They should have stopped with three. They really should have.
They should have. There was no reason for it.
No, and I don't know what that... I mean, I know that at some point, Tom Hanks was like, oh, they have this really heartbreaking story, and it's a great way to come back and you know, revisit these characters. And then I watched it, and I was like, no, uh-uh. You don't get any better than Andy driving away in that car.
And, yeah, I mean, that was it. That was the end. Who cares about Bonnie?
Yeah, I mean, the shorts that they did were funny, like Partysaurus Rex and that kind of shit, but...
Yeah, but they weren't the same.
No, and, you know, I guess there was just enough interest in those types of things where they thought, you know, fuck it, let's do another one, but hopefully they've learned their lesson.
Yeah, I doubt it. Toy Story 5, A New Beginning.
Yeah. What's Woody been up to? Oh, God. You know, if you study characters in movies, Woody is one of the most unlikable characters in those films. He's not really one that you're supposed to be rooting for. And right. Yet the entire fucking thing is based around his ego and him thinking he's more important than everybody else.
Right.
Even when it comes to Bonnie, it's like, oh, I've got to be there for Bonnie. No, you don't. Just shut the fuck up. Sit in the closet with the other toys and deal with it. So have you been watching anything else? Now that we're...
I've been watching random stuff. I watched Rocket Man, the Elton John movie.
Okay.
It was interesting.
Okay.
I didn't realize how fucked up he was.
It's a very stylized movie, though, isn't it?
It's incredibly stylized. There are musical numbers that don't quite make sense, and then there are musical numbers that are like Mamma Mia.
Okay.
And some of them just like end.
Okay.
Like it's like, okay, I'm not sure what I'm watching. It's really weird because it takes place basically Elton John going to group therapy.
Okay.
And he's in one of his costumes. He's in like a devil costume. And I mean, his parents were shit.
Yeah. Shit.
I mean, the father was a musician and his career was more important than the family. So he kind of abandoned them. But every so often he'd come back home. But the mother was kind of screwing around all the time. And when he first had his first album, he went to see his father, who now has a second family.
Okay.
And the father could care less that he's at any degree of success whatsoever. And Elton John brings him a copy of his album, and the father asks him to sign it, and he starts writing, like, to Dad. And he's like, no, make it out to Arthur. It's a guy from work who likes you.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the mother was always just trying to get money out of him. It's like, you know, oh, we found this great little beach house, and... It's like, wow, because when he came out as being gay to her, she says, you'll never, you're choosing a life where you'll never be truly loved. And that's kind of the theme of his entire life.
Jesus, no wonder he turned to drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but kind of good, I guess, because he's, you know, turned himself around and he's sober and...
He's married and has kids and
yeah you know, good for him.
Odd movie. One of the things when I watched the Freddie Mercury one, Bohemian Rhapsody, one of the things that irked me about that was, if you know the story of Queen, they play around with the timeline a lot.
Okay.
And things happen either way before or way after they happened in real life. And people were like, this is not a biographical representation of the band. This is a made up story where you're plunking in real real life people as these characters. And from what I had heard from Elton John was like, Rocket Man is not that. Rocket Man is a very stylized telling of my life, and they don't try to, he's not saying that like, hey, this is actually what happened.
Right.
It's like, there's truth in there, but it's not, you know, exactly the way it happened. So,
he acknowledges that it's dramatized.
Yeah.
It's not really his life story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little odd. what else did I watch? I watched something else. That was so good. I don't remember what it was. Oh, Knives Out.
Oh, okay.
Knives Out, I loved.
Yeah, it's amazing that that came from the same person that made fucking Last Jedi, isn't it?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. The ending was very tragic, though. That through all the twists and turns, it was kind of like, oh, he didn't have to die.
No, and it was one of those things like, when I first watched it, there was the word on the street was like best murder mystery in a really long time. And then they spoil the murder mystery within the first like half an hour of the film.
Right.
And I'm like, how am I supposed to like get into the rest of this? But it works.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay. By the time you get to the end and everything is revealed, you're like, wow, okay, that was really well done.
Right.
So maybe Rian Johnson just needs to stick with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, could be.
Okay. I know what I did watch this week. There is a show on Amazon called Catastrophe. And it's Rob Delaney and his writing partner, Sharon Horgan.
And is that that's not the guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, did he?
No, that's Mac something. No.
No. So it takes place in London. It's these American businessman is in London for a meeting. And winds up hooking up with this chick in a bar and gets her pregnant. And he decides that since his father took off when he was just a kid, he would be a father to this kid. And so it's these two people that barely know each other that get married and try to have a relationship. And so there's a lot of English sensibility, comedic things in it. But what I really enjoy is that Rob Delaney's mother in this is played by Carrie Fisher.
I think
it was one of the last things that she did before she died. She was only in 6 episodes. But she shot...
And is it filmed in the UK?
Yeah. Because she was in the UK when she...
So maybe she was doing it while she was waiting for Star Wars.
Possibly.
Right.
Possibly. But, you know, it's typical Carrie Fisher. Her dog's in it. Like, so he moves over to London to be with this woman. And she's constantly calling him being like, hey, I talked to this dude. You can annul the marriage. Like, it's different there. And like, so... it's just nice to see her again. But it's an
interesting, is she funny in it?
I think so, but I mean, but it's very,
okay.
It's very, she's not in it a lot. Like I said, she's only in 6 episodes out of however many they've made, 24, I guess. But the rest of it is entertaining enough you know, two people that aren't really in love, and well, they're trying to be in love, they're having a kid, blah blah blah. And I've always liked English comedy, so it's kind of a mixture because it's written by Rob Delaney, who's from Boston, and Sharon Horgan, who is from, I think, Ireland, and they play the two main characters, and they have some really good chemistry together. So it's a fun thing to watch.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Since you brought up British comedies, I found a comedy on Prime called Two's Company about an American mystery novel writer and her English butler.
Okay.
And there's really some clever acting and writing on this show. There's an episode where they inadvertently let a encyclopedia salesman into the house, okay, and the guy refuses to leave, and he refuses to leave, and it's just hilarious.
And it's called Two's Company?
Two's Company. It's an American, it's the, do you ever watch 40 Rock? 30 Rock?
Very briefly.
The novelist is Elaine Stritch, who played Alec Baldwin's mother on that.
Okay.
She's also in Cocoon 2.
Oh, so is this from like 1975 that I'm looking at? Wait,
yes.
Okay.
From the heyday of British comedies.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, the episode with the encyclopedia salesman in particular is very funny.
And this is on Amazon?
This is on Amazon Prime.
Oh, and there's four seasons? Okay.
Four seasons. Yeah, but they're short seasons.
Well, that most
I think they're like six or eight episodes.
Most British TV shows are.
Yeah.
American TV could learn a
thing. But it's worth it. I mean, if you like British comedies, you might like this.
Okay.
And a lot of the writing is just like two character scenes. There's not like a huge supporting cast. It's just the interaction of the very opinionated American and her butler, who's always used to getting his way and will not do things her way regardless.
Okay.
So it's worth checking out.
Okay. Wow, the butler guy lived to the age of 90.
Yes.
And he pretty much worked up until a couple of years before he died, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you hear the news out of Texas this weekend?
Oh, which news out of Texas? A
major concert event was canceled.
Which was that?
Vanilla Ice.
Oh, Jesus.
But it's a very scary world where Vanilla Ice will acknowledge that there's a problem with being in public and canceling a concert, and the orange one in charge refuses. It's like, so where's... Oh.
Well, you know, if you stop talking about it, it just goes away, right?
Apparently. Well, just stop testing.
Yeah.
If you don't test, you don't know. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You know...
Yep, I mean, but I guess my problem is, whoa, no, be quiet. Don't mind me.
What the hell's that?
That's my computer. I forgot to mute it before. Anyway, the problem becomes everybody knows that the people in Washington are full of shit. And yet there are still
correct.
A record number of people who decided to go to the beach yesterday on the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
Many are still.
Why cautious. Did that come back on? Jesus Christ. Okay. There is that problem of it doesn't matter how many times people will tell you wear a mask, be safe, whatever. These people will not fucking listen.
No.
It's our own damn faults that the entire world has locked us out.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, not the whole damn world. I mean, Putin's still our buddy.
Yeah. Well, it's only because
he's probably
kind of controls us.
He's probably looking at the best places to land his aircraft carriers.
But when the idiot in North Korea says we're not talking to the United States anymore because it's nothing but to make Trump look good, that's North fucking Korea that has come to that conclusion. Something's not right. Like, we're just fucking doomed, man. I went out. There were a couple of times this weekend where I had to go out for various stuff, and I drove past the big mall in North Charleston, and there was a fucking carnival going up. And I was
awesome.
I was like, we're doomed. They are. Nobody is listening. Nobody is paying attention to the fact that there are record fucking cases here in South Carolina, not as high as Florida, but enough to make me uncomfortable in South Carolina. And like,
sure.
Nobody fucking cares. Oh, well, you know, if you're afraid, don't go out. That's not the fucking point. I want this to be done. The longer that we do this, the longer that nobody wears their fucking mask, you know, the longer
right.
this fucking shit stays here.
Yep.
You know, we had a socially distanced block party yesterday for the 4th of July.
Did you all stand in your front doorway and wave?
No, it was down. We live on a road with a cul-de-sac. So down in the cul-de-sac, they kind of put out road cones so that no cars could drive down there. And people, we sat 6 feet apart from each other and stuff. And we happen to live on a block that has a couple of teachers from my kid's school on it.
Oh,
and so they were talking to my daughter about, you know, you're excited that the school year is coming up and we don't know what that's going to look like and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're talking about starting where everything is distance learning, where my kid's going to get up and at 8 o'clock, she's got to get on her laptop to a Google classroom where there'll be a Google chat hangout thing with her entire class and the teacher for fucking like 6 hours a day. And it's like, even if I had a job, that means I can't go back to work because somebody's got to be here with the kid.
Right.
You know, all of this would just, if people would fucking sit in their houses for a couple of goddamn weeks. And
no, Chris, that you cannot mandate that. You can't force me to stay home. You cannot legislate for me to wear a mask. That is against my civil rights.
It's called morality.
No, it's not. There is no morality in the United States.
No, not anymore.
None whatsoever.
And I would really like to live in a country that has some of that.
Germany's nice.
Germany, Canada. I mean, I think being under Trudeau would probably be a decent thing, even though it's cold as fuck up there.
Yeah.
But I mean, Toronto's nice. Vancouver. There's definitely something to be said for that.
If you insist.
But you can't even get into those countries anymore because they're turning American tourists away at the border.
Right.
I mean, Mexico closed their border to the United States. What does that tell you?
Well, we still got to finish that fence. Let's finish the fence first, Chris. That's what's important.
I wonder how many Americans are catching going over to Mexico and deporting them back to the United States. How quickly we've become a third world country.
how many of their kids are being put in cages?
Yeah.
Come here, Jimmy.
You think those people are like, look, just fucking send me home?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Your state is not doing well, is it? For coronavirus.
No. What did we have? 11,000 cases this weekend?
Good Christ.
Yeah, that's awesome.
10,000.
That's awesome.
10,059 new positives on Sunday.
Yep.
Holy shit, man.
Yep, but I got to get out. I got to go see my friends. Got to go to the bar.
So
got to see fireworks.
So Florida really is the new epicenter, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Florida's a shithole.
Because New York's highest daily tally was 11,571 in April. Florida reported 11,458 on yesterday.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, man.
Winning! We're number one. We're number one.
Your governor has yet to issue a statewide face mask order, though he has encouraged residents to wear one. Yeah, see, that's not the same
thing.
Yeah.
No.
They're actually handing out fines in fucking Charleston.
Good, they should. I wish they'd do it here. I wish they had a hotline that you could take a picture of somebody and send it in.
Yeah.
Here you go. You get $50 for every one of these assholes you send in.
Do you think public
take a picture of their license plates? No, because these people think they're famous. Like, I'm sure that bimbo at the Miami Beach meeting saying, you know, that she doesn't have to wear a mask for the same reason she doesn't wear underwear.
Right.
Things gotta breathe.
Yeah.
I'm sure she thinks she's hot shit. And I'm sure her family and friends think, why? And she stood up to them and she is so good. She's a powerful woman. powerful woman. Wait till she's on a ventilator. Maybe that's it. Maybe they should have like free ventilator fittings. You know, like when you go to Walmart. Hey, come on over. You don't have a mask? Hey, let me show you our latest product. Here. Yeah. We're going to shove this down your throat and you're going to be conscious and unsedated. Okay. And you'll be like this for several months. What do you think?
Oh,
no, you don't like that? Wear the fucking mask.
I didn't realize that the Republican National Convention had moved to Jacksonville.
Yes.
Oh, because North Carolina wouldn't put up with the shit.
Yep. And Cheeto wanted it at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, God.
Because that's his hotel and he makes money off of it. But, you know, nobody cares because he's done so much for this country. Oh, my God. And the ratings are through the roof, Chris.
Oh, of course.
It's amazing.
Because people are watching America like they're watching Tiger King.
It's It's a shit show. Come on down.
No.
Come on down.
Normally, I would look forward to coming down
to
fucking
Florida.
Nope.
The bars at the beach really need you, Chris. Come on.
Well, see, therein lies two things that I'm not a big fan of. Drinking and the beach.
Bars. Oh, come on, Chris, you're un-American.
No, I'm actually really American. These other people aren't.
See, I just think that there should be, you know, every person who says, I don't want to wear a mask, they get shot with a dart and we tag them just like we do wild animals, you know, shark tracker.
Yeah.
Here's idiot tracker on the internet. You can sign in and see how many idiots live near you. And those people are put on a do not treat list, and they're not allowed to go to hospitals or doctors.
Well, you know, that could be a thing for sure.
You know, we've got empty arenas. We should send them all to these empty arenas like they did during Katrina and let them fend for themselves.
I
really think they should stack the dead bodies in front of the White House, but, you know.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. It would. I'm fascinated by the pictures that are online from like Cocoa Beach, where they're people trying to get on the beach that they're taking their temperature and they're all wearing masks and stuff to go onto the beach. But you know damn well that when they get onto that beach, that shit's coming off and they're just coughing all over each other.
Yep.
Vice President Mike Pence, who visited Tampa on Thursday, praised Florida's governor for his innovative response to the pandemic and said that Florida is in a much better place to fight the current outbreak. And then it says Pence postponed campaign events in Florida due to the increase in positive cases there. So which is it?
Right.
Is it, are they much better place or are the cases rising?
Well, it's a much better case because the cases are rising.
Well, Jesus Christ. What a bunch of fucking assholes, man.
Yep. But what are you going to do about it?
You vote them all out in fucking November is what you do.
God, I hope so.
I mean, okay, so realistically, hopefully this being the peak of the shit that's going on, and say it becomes a downward trend over the next couple months. In November, will you be waiting in line to vote?
Me personally or the state of Florida?
You.
No, because I've already requested my ballot be mailed.
Okay.
I figure I'll just Xerox like 5,000-6,000 of those and just mail them all back. You think one stamp's enough?
Don't do that. Don't don't play into their fucking hands, man.
No. Hanging chads.
I mean, this is going to be the most fucked up election in history. Just
Well, no, because Ivanka has the patent on voting machines. That's perfectly legal, isn't it? Doesn't it make sense?
Sure, absolutely.
It makes sense to me. Of course. Yeah.
Man.
Has there ever been a lower point in U.S. history?
No. No. I seriously don't think so. I mean, it's really like maybe the Great Depression. But I mean, this is all the makings of.
Yeah,
the
but
next
we
Great
tried
Depression.
That again with Occupy Wall Street and nobody gave a shit.
Well, that's the problem with America is everybody gets on their high horses for a weekend and then everybody
and then
fucking
it.
Forgets about it. Where you have protests in Hong Kong that have been going on for over a year.
Right.
The coronavirus didn't stop it. They just put masks on and went back out into the streets. You know, we'll march for Black Lives Matter for a couple of weeks and then it goes away.
Right.
Until the next injustice happens. And then they're like, oh yeah, we need to go march again.
Well, we're so distracted by the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, every day it's something else. It's like, oh my God, this, you know, protester was killed by some jackass who drove down a street that was barricaded off. It's like, oh my God, justice, justice. Oh, what's over there? Squirrel. Squirrel. Hey, look at that. Hey, another squirrel. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Did your vibrator go off?
No, was that mine?
It wasn't mine.
Maybe somebody went. Oh, yeah. It was the doorbell thing. Never mind.
Oh.
Anywho. Yeah.
Yes.
We're pretty fucked. Yeah, I don't. The Great Depression is the closest that I could come to with, and the way we got out of that was war. So,
yeah, I don't right.
really want to see that either.
No, because we were so unprepared. So unprepared. I'm really surprised we have not seen the Cheeto in full military regalia. You know, big captain's hat with the feathers on it, a bunch of medals he's made up. You know, they're like soda pop caps.
This one's for highest ratings.
Exactly.
This one is for...
Exactly.
For...
This is the Fox News Medal of Freedom. I gave it to myself. Yeah. This is for banging a whore and marrying her. Oh, anyway.
I did see something this morning that I guess Trump had wanted the military to march in a parade for 4th of July. And
they wanted to bring tanks down to the main street of Washington.
Yeah, and they and refused that... because they had bone spurs, which was a big dig at him for his Vietnam thing.
That's funny. Not to mention the fact that the infrastructure of the roads in Washington, D.C. would not support a tank.
Yeah.
Because that would be kind of funny that we see his big old parade and, like, the first vehicle gets stuck.
Oh, okay. This was a couple of years ago. It must have been an old story that they drudged up. Pentagon has turned down this was from 2018. Turned down Donald.
This is this big American 4th of July thing he wanted to do.
Yeah. So it says his request for a grand military parade in Washington, D.C., citing a sudden outbreak of bone spurs that would prevent men and women in uniform from participating.
That is funny.
And then I don't know where the spokesman is from, but it said President Trump is welcome to march in the parade all by himself if he would finally like to enlist.
Uh-huh.
Ah, good times.
Yay, America.
Yeah. Yeah, good times.
Yep. You know what I miss, Chris?
What do you miss?
S'mores.
S'mores?
S'mores.
Why do you miss s'mores?
Because I don't have a charcoal grill. Oh. But they taste nasty on the gas grill.
You could build a fire.
Wonder if you can make them in a frying pan. Can you make them in a frying pan?
You have a gas stove?
No, I have an electric stove.
Oh. Just go out and get a little charcoal grill at Walmart.
Nah, not worth it.
No? You could sit in your pool and make s'mores and just eat
with the grill on my lap.
Well, no, like out up on the deck, up on the side.
Yeah, I still like the vision of it being up in my lap. Or maybe I get like a donut for it and it floats next to me. That'd be kind of cool.
There you go. And you have some kind of waterproof thing for on the other side of you for the marshmallows and the chocolate?
Yep.
And the graham crackers?
Yep.
See, that'd be perfect for you. First world problems.
Oh, my.
All right. You got anything else for this week?
Nah, that's enough.
All right.
We're leaving it on a high note.
Like always.
Survive.
Yeah. One more week. Just survive. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe tomorrow's numbers will be down below 9,000 for you.
Oh, that'd be so perfect. I could go to a bar.
There you go.
I might get my hair cut.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Wear your damn mask.